Major David Katz in studio with us this morning. He couldn't make it on Monday. David, thanks for joining us today, this Wednesday.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for making the allowance to allow me to come in on the Wednesday.
Oh, the things we do for you. All right, give me your view on this peace plan.
Well, I must say, we've discussed this for a number of years now. We've sat down, and what are the conclusions that we've come to, that there has to be some type of a negotiated settlement at the end of the day. Otherwise, all the fighting and all the war
will just continue.
Is for naught. It's for nothing, and it will continue any infinitum. So, as you know, I'm not a Trump fan at all. But this is definitely something positive, I think, that he's put down on the table. And if it's a start to the negotiations, if it's the foundation to set up a basis for sitting down and having some robust talks over the deal, then I think it's very positive. And it's the first time in many years that United States has stuck its neck out and put down something positive on the table that they prepared to stand by. And I think it's a great basis for a start for the two sides to get together and start negotiating on this document. Now, I haven't read the details of the document at all. I don't know really what it contains.
When you've read it, please will you just let us know. I can't get through 181 pages.
181 pages.
It's too many. But too many. 180 maybe.
Have they set it down for a basis of negotiation? I mean, is this hard and fast casting stone?
No. They are saying that they want the details to be negotiated and settled over the next 4 years.
So it seems to be very, very positive. And obviously, Israel feels militarily secure about it because they've gone and accepted that this is a basis. So it obviously takes, which is the part that I'm interested in, is that they've accepted that this doesn't put them in a military indefensible position.
Which I do find fascinating, because there is a direct access from Jordan to the Palestinian state, according to this. I believe Gaza gets their own port. Yes. So it will potentially make Israel vulnerable within a very, very small geographic area. So obviously there must be something in it that's making them feel okay about it.
Well, I think also the political situation in the Middle East has changed somewhat since 1947. Yes. And as Raleen said, the Palestinians seem to be locked into the whole scenario of 1947, whereas the Israelis have moved on. Things have changed politically. You have a number of your very important Arab nations coming forward quite openly and supporting this deal. Then you've got a lot behind the scenes that are supporting the deal, some very, very important players. And I'm sure the Saudi Arabians are right there together
for sure.
With them. Yeah. So you have Israel in a totally different political situation than it found itself isolated in 1948. So they can afford some military concessions now. They can afford to take some risks in the light of the new political dispensation in the area. So I think it's great that they came out straight away and they said, right, this is a great basis to negotiate from, and we're going to accept it. And
the Palestinians are in a very difficult position, because they, you know, 1,000 times no and let's go and riot. What was the other quote, that Donald Trump is a dog and a son of a dog, which is, you know, all right, fine. That's just maybe allegorical it's flowery speech. But now what? They've been offered a state, and the whole fear has been, and the whole issue has been around the Palestinians not having a state, and saying that both Israel and the United States is disingenuous and never going to give. Here is a state. It might not be perfect. It's certainly not perfect for Israel either, but it's certainly a good basis to start a conversation and hopefully resolve something by saying, I'm not even going to have this conversation where there's nothing shocking in it, I don't think. And certainly we haven't heard anything like that from either side. And of course people have got issues and concerns about some aspects of it. But there isn't anything that makes this an outrage. Therefore, it can't look good for them. And in fact, it actually will potentially change a narrative around Palestinian victimhood, which is very, very much part of that narrative.
I just have a feeling, look, the proposal, I think, is being painted in broad brushstrokes.
Sure.
I believe that the devil is going to be in the details, and there's going to be there's going to be very hard negotiating over some of those details that will be painful for both sides, because obviously it's a negotiated settlement, and but not any side is going to achieve total dominance and exactly what it wants. There's got to be a give and take situation.
Sure.
So I actually believe that that the Palestinians will come round. I don't think they have too many other options.
And well, I don't see what options they have. I think that's my point. Is if the
but how they also need to come out and state right now is exactly what are they looking for?
100%. And then the negotiation.
And then the process is to bridge the gap. So they need to say, listen, this is the outcome that we're looking for. Let us sit down and let's try and bridge the gap. And it's going to have to be a give and take situation. But to come out and negate what's been put down on the table now without offering an alternative or saying what your standpoint is, it's just nihilistic.
For me, it's fascinating because I think they're going to isolate themselves within the Arab world as well, because aside from perhaps Qatar and Iran, I'm not sure, who aren't particularly great friends anyway, but they are going to isolate themselves. Because once you've got Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, a lot of these places saying, you know, okay, yeah, this is something that we can get behind, well then why should the Palestinians continue with this trajectory?
Look, I also think it's a problem of leadership, Howard, where who leads the Palestinians now? So they've got to sort out their leadership issues and come up with a united front that they can go and negotiate on the settlement. Right now, I think they are also playing to their own political ends. They're playing to that audience and they're trying to garner political support to create some type of a leadership to go forward. So right now it's divided. The Palestinians are divided into two or three camps with different backers. Difficult for them to actually come to a table because who represents the Palestinian people right now as a unified force?
Right,
it doesn't exist. At least the Israelis are more or less unified behind this. It seems there's a lot of
functioning democracy, even if it is, every Israeli has four opinions of their own.
But I bet you if you took some type of a vote over this, a referendum over this, that you'd find that most Israelis are fully behind trying to reach some type of a settlement, because people are tired of this ongoing war situation. It's not good for the region. It's not good for the countries. There's nothing to gain from it. And at least this peace process, I mean, gives a glimmer of hope, economic hope, which is what it's all about, to those people that are totally disaffected and isolated now and marginalized because of these wars. So there is something very, very positive about it. And I take my hat off to the American administration for coming out with something positive. And I think it's one of the very few things that I can throw my weight behind that Trump has done. So I'm fully behind it. Yeah. I think something good will come of it, actually.
Interesting. Colin says, morning, are we not looking at a 1948 situation again? Once signed, the Arabs will attack to try and wipe Israel off the map. I don't think so.
No, I think we've moved on.
I think it's not that anymore. You know, and also there's a tremendous amount of economic cooperation between Israel and her neighbors. And we're seeing more and more of that. And I think people, I believe that many countries have moved on. Certainly Egypt is not interested in getting involved in a war. There's peace with almost, with many of these, of the countries around there.
Egypt sorted out with Israel many, many years ago back into the 70s where they had that initiative where you've got to take your hat off to the Egyptians who flew to Israel and made a peace and had the foresight to do that. And that was the catalyst for the whole of the Middle East. And one by one, the Arab nations have come around to accepting that Israel is in their midst and they might as well make the best of it. And I think that's the whole political situation in the Middle East has changed. We're not back to a 1948 situation. And this is actually a time to take risks. I think it's called each side now needs to take the political risks in order to bring about this peace process. I think it deserves the best crack that they can give it. And it's no good harking back to the past. You know, we need to forget about the history of this, move on to the future and see how we're going to make this work.
Time is 8:31. Jenny says in Weinberg on 6th Street in the right-hand lane leading towards the highway, there's a broken-down garbage truck in the right-hand lane. And Beulah says traffic lights at the intersection of Louis Burton, Caller Drive, and Louis are not working. Time is 8:31. Israel has deprived Palestinians of their rights, and the deal is an endorsement of that deprivation. That's kind of what they're saying. But why?
It's difficult to understand that.
Israel has imposed a system of institutionalized discrimination against Palestinians under its rule, denying them basic rights. The deal amounts to the endorsement of these brutal, unlawful policies.
Let's for a moment accept that perhaps the Israelis have denied the Palestinian their rights. Let's just accept it for the point of argument. How would this deal not improve that situation? It may not ultimately be exactly what the Palestinians are looking
understand.
For.
I don't understand. It's pure. It's complete autonomy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's autonomy.
And as we were discussing,
so how does
the
autonomy?
Break,
how does one country impose anything on another country?
Certainly, if they're autonomous. And as we discussed in the break, is that I was worried at stages here that the two-state solution was dead. It was looking like it, and this sort of revives it. And I mean, it's everybody's benefit that this has been revived. And surely this is a stepping stone. I mean, autonomy is a stepping stone now to freeing oneself up and just getting self-determination. I mean, what other alternative is there? Is the other alternative the disappearance of Israel, which is right back to what we're talking about. That's exactly why the Israelis are there, to defend themselves. So this is the only solution that I can see, a two-state solution, an autonomous region for the Palestinians where they can have self-determination, but also we need to see the Palestinians in a different light. We need to see them as partners in the region, not as enemies, and they need to see the Israelis as partners, not as enemies, and that will come as they live side by side and learn to get on to each other and learn to get along with each other. Things will change, and their perspectives will change. So I think what the problem is here is that we're living back in 1948. A lot of us are living back then, 1947, and we're not taking cognizance of the new situation in the Middle East, and we need to look onwards and upwards instead of harking back to the past and the injustices on both sides of the past.
Do you think that the Palestinians are simply just negotiating by saying we're not negotiating? Is that just part of posturing, and ultimately they will come to the table?
It may be a negotiation ploy. I can't see the benefit of them turning around now and dismissing it out of hand as a negotiation ploy right up front, except that they may be fearful that should they have tentatively accepted it, that they would lose support back at their home base. Mm-hmm. They may be worried about that. There may be leadership issues amongst the Palestinians as to exactly who leads the Palestinians at this stage. We know there's a split. And also, they may just be puppets of another power in the region and answerable to them, and not able to make their own decisions.
Right.
And have been instructed just to reject this out of hand. So it could be a whole lot of different factors at play over here. But it doesn't seem to be good negotiating tactics when somebody extends a hand. No matter how tentative that hand is, and no matter how difficult the circumstances seem to be, that you refuse that hand. You don't sit down and at least give the negotiations a go. You may make a cautionary statement to say, listen, as this deal sits here, we have major issues with it. We have major issues that need to be negotiated, and a lot of this needs to be negotiated away to make us want to come to the table. But to reject it outright is not a good negotiating ploy, I don't believe. I think it puts them in a worse position.
Yeah, interesting.
They're going to lose a lot of support and friends out there if they carry on with this type of insurgency, especially.
Yeah, that's what I'm fascinated about is how they are going to play this, how this is going to play out for them. I can't see. Yes, everybody's Pavlovian response is to absolutely hate anything that Donald Trump says, because that's what the Western media does. That's it's just a common theme. But when that settles, And I think we've seen this before with him, and eventually you start looking at it, because he has got the power of a lot of countries in the Middle East behind him. He didn't just say that this is what's going to happen. He has researched this properly. Now, whether it's perfect or imperfect, I'm pretty sure it's imperfect. But at least it's a meaningful start with meaningful backing. That means it has to be taken seriously, no matter what anybody thinks.
It has to be taken seriously, just from the point of view that Israel's circumstances alliances have changed very much from 1948 to 1967. America is the only superpower. Previously, you had two superpowers, so you had the Russians backing the Arab nations. That is gone. That has disappeared. Israel militarily is the strongest power, without a doubt, in the Middle East, and it's in the strongest military position that it's been in for its whole history. So you, and they are backed by the world's only superpower. So you have to give recognition to that, is that they come there, they are militarily strong, they are politically strong in the region. They have Arab allies that are going to be backing this plan, and they are backed by the biggest superpower. So you have to give some type of recognition as to who your adversary is, and that the situation has changed from previously. So it pays to sit down under these circumstances and try and make this deal work, because it's the best deal on the table for years and years.
Mervin says, in 72 years, Israel has built a thriving economy, a thriving country. What has the PA done since in Gaza, even since 2005, what has actually became Hamas? Absolutely zero. And Jenny says, so in summary, the Palestinians have to give up violence and they get a state. Am I understanding this correctly, that they've rejected that? Wow. Well, I think it's probably more than just that aspect. I would hope that it's more than just the demand to give up violence that has stopped, that has made them rejected it.
Look, one has to have a certain amount of sympathy for the predicament that the Palestinians find themselves in. Let's not lose sight of that. They are not, in many ways, they are victims of their circumstances. And, a lot of where they find themselves today has not been engineered by their own devices. So let's give recognition. But that's the history. So let's accept that. Let's accept that the Palestinians have been dealt a rough deal in a lot of different scenarios. But that's the history. You've got to sit today and say, from here on where?
Well, the point is that you have to make peace with your enemies at some point. That's exactly why you need to make peace, because they are your enemies.
Exactly.
So let's deal with that and move on.
Exactly.
Ian says, I love the pragmatic and optimistic way Major Katz puts the opportunity across. My reservation and gut feel is that the ideology of the Palestinians is so far off the mark that the challenge will be to get them aligned and out of the past. Even our own South African government negotiations, there was more alignment. I don't believe the Palestinians want to make this deal work. Interesting indeed. Time is 8:45. I've been chatting to Major David Katz. We've been speaking about the Palestinian, about the Donald Trump peace deal. And in just a moment, we're going to look at it from another angle completely. Stay tuned. Time is 8:47. Major David Katz in a studio. Before we move to our next discussion, David, you wanted to comment on Ian's message.
Yes, Ian made a very important point. He spoke about ideologies and people embracing ideologies, nihilistic ideologies. And my point is this: the reason why I'm optimistic is that in the absence of hope, people will embrace an ideology. And I think this offers a glimmer of hope to the Palestinians, and it may loosen them from some of the ideology that's going on
because it's an alternative.
And I honestly believe that there is a basis of hope over here, especially at the ground root level. On the ground there, you may get Palestinians who are tired of the situation coming in and forcing their leadership to accept it.